This is the Mike McFeely Show on Live Local First, 790 KFGO and KFGO.com.
It is a Thursday afternoon, the Mike McFeely Show on the mighty 790 KFGO. And if we could get the help out of the studio, named Paul Juergens, we could get on with our program here on the mighty 790 KFGO. Good program coming up, very stacked with guests, but a lot of great guests coming up today, including late in the show, by the way. We had him on yesterday, but since he called his victory over Notre Dame on this program, on this very airwaves yesterday, Saul Phillips said, we are going to win this game tonight. We're going to have North Dakota State men's basketball coach Saul Phillips on at about 4:35. Our phone numbers, as always, on this program, 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. We're going to start here. We're going to start talking DUIs and DUI laws because KFGO News had the story about some possible changes to North Dakota's tougher DUI laws. It was in the newspaper, the Forum, this morning, and some folks around town are certainly talking about it. And to help us wade our way through this and to talk about what might happen, let's bring in somebody who has led the way on trying to get tougher DUI laws in the state of North Dakota, the guy who's been out front for years on this. His name is Ed Gracella. He represents District 45 in North Fargo. Hello, Ed Gracella. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mike. And your associate over here does a great job, by the way.
Do I do a great job, Ed? Or you've been complimenting Pinto just
Let's wait till it's over.
Okay. Thanks for stopping by. Glad you had the time for me today. There's already some talk about changing some of the tougher DUI laws that passed in the most recent legislative session. And it sounds like, well, it doesn't sound like there are. There are some hitches in the giddy up with some unintended consequences, some unenforceable maybe parts of these laws, Ed. And I want you to start where you want to start and tell us what exactly is happening here, because you, as I said, have been out front of this thing for years here.
Well, thanks, Mike. I like to tell people that I've been in all three phases of laws right now, or the implementation of laws. When I was younger, I broke some laws, and then for 25 years, I enforced laws, and now I'm in the business of making laws. And what I've seen in the last four sessions is that the DUI section, and when it's altered, it turns into a real complicated issue because you affect several different areas of the law. And this last session, there was a concerted effort, as everybody knows, to try to strengthen the laws and change them to be more, to have more of a deterrent. And I would say in a lot of areas we did fail. We didn't get enough deterrent up front. But the problems that are coming out now are showing that when you take a bunch of bills, throw them together, and throw them in a hat, and try to, and it got political toward the end, and try to make some people save face, things aren't looked at the way they should have been. And the major part of this bill was written by the Attorney General's office, and then they took our bill, the one that Senator Mather and I had sponsored, and tried to incorporate parts of that in there, and it turned out that it was there's some issues in there that that should not be. And one of the major ones is trying to implement that 24/7 program. I think is the wrong way to go.
And let me explain. The 24/7 program is if you get a DUI, you have mandatory probation, and you have to be in a 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week sobriety program. That's what the 24/7 is.
That's correct.
Okay. And the problem with that, and I think it's fairly obvious, but the problem with it, Ed, is?
Well, number one is if it's an out-of-stater and cross jurisdictions, it's difficult to implement that program. It doesn't work.
So if I'm from Minnesota, for example, which I am, and I get a DUI in North Dakota, and they try to slap the 24/7 thing, which I don't disagree that the idea of it, but the implementation, the enforcement of it is, if I go back across to Minnesota, if I'm in Minneapolis or Brainerd or Detroit Lakes, how do they know if I'm going by that law, right? That's what the issue there is.
Right, and it's not so much that we can't take care of it in-state people, but as we know, there's a whole pile of DUIs that are getting arrested now that are from other jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
and they're not getting the program is almost impossible to. Now, there the part of the law that we want to put in there was called the ignition interlocks. And many states, I think it's close to 30 now, have put ignition interlocks in their law. And all these are is a device that is put in your car. Before you can start your car, you have to blow in this device. And if there's alcohol in your breath, it won't start. Now, these things work. Some states have been using them for 10 years now. And it's easy to implement. It the cost is all borne by the offender. And you don't have that problem with the probation. You don't have that problem with monitoring. If the car doesn't start, it doesn't start. So that's the way we should have went. And I argued for that, but it didn't go. The 24/7 program is something that our attorney general, who is a friend of mine and I really like, kind of it's his baby here in North Dakota, and he's sticking to that thing, even though it's complicated and difficult to implement.
When it comes to the ignition lock, would that have been on the first DUI, or is that multiple DUIs under what you wanted to do?
No, interlocks would have been on the first DUI, yes.
Okay, for a set period of time, or for how long?
For a set period of time, yes.
Okay, all right. And that, I guess I didn't realize it was in 30 states. I mean, that's pretty impressive. If 30 states have adopted it, there must be something to it, right?
Now, don't quote me on that number. But
it's somewhere in that range,
yeah,
right?
And it's climbing. And the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has incorporated that in many states, and that's what they're pushing because the history shows that it does work.
Here's the tough question, and here's the one that I think a lot of people are asking today is, okay, if you had some of these ideas, and you did, and we talked about these in the program before the session, then how did they get shoved aside, and why did these things get in what was eventually that came through the sausage maker in the North Dakota legislature? Because I remember a representative from West Fargo named Kim Koppelman, who ended up being the guy up on the podium behind the microphone with the governor and everybody else, and that's kind of who took the lead on this, at least publicly. Is that where the issue sort of started with how this ended?
Yes. There were some Johnny-come-latelys who decided that this was a good political bandwagon to get on and push that part of it, and then it turned into a kind of a cluster there in the session.
And you said toward the end it got political. What did you mean by that, Ed, specifically?
Well, they actually... The bill 2240 that I sponsored actually turned into this 1302, the one that passed. So it was just kind of a bait and switch thing again. And there were some issue parts of it that got incorporated, but basically it just got to be, you know, whose bill is going to pass. And when you have a super majority like like the other party has now, that bill passed.
237-5948 800-880-5346. KFGO.studio at KFGO.com is our email. Did I say Tuesday earlier? I meant Thursday. It says Thursday, right?
I know.
Tomorrow's Friday.
Yep.
I think
Christmas
I said
party tomorrow.
Oh, it is. It's the Tom Wynn and Friend Christmas party. 6 o'clock in the morning. You're going to be here with bells on?
I know I'm not going to be wearing that sweater that I have to wear tonight.
Oh, you're not going to?
No.
You're wearing the sweater tonight, though, right?
Yeah, I have to.
We'll get back to it after the bottom of the hour here at 2:35, but there is a photo up on Facebook of Pinto with the ugly sweater that he has to wear because he lost a bet to me ringing the bell tonight for the Salvation Army at West Acres Mall. Representative Ed Gracella, District 45, North Fargo, in studio with us. We're talking about the tougher DUI laws that... some of the legislature and some in the state are already talking about trying to tweak and change because they haven't quite worked out the way they thought they would. Here's a question for you, Representative, and this one is common. I knew it was going to come up when you talk about ignition locks. It says, what would stop a friend from blowing to start the car? If that person did not have booze in their breath, the car would start. Would that person be liable if there was a crash or another DUI?
That's an obvious question, and... we went through this during the session. We had a representative of one of the companies come in and educate the committee. And these ignition interlocks are almost infallible. What happens is there's a camera. When you put the ignition interlock in your car, there's a camera that's mounted. And at the time that you blow, there's a snapshot taken. And that snapshot is online. This whole thing is online. So it's real time. It goes up to the satellite and goes into a center in Iowa, and they see the test result that blows, and they also see a snapshot of who blew in it. So it's all recorded. So there really is, and I've looked into these I studied them for quite a few months. There's really no way to beat them.
That's amazing. I mean, the technology, I mean, we all know technology is amazing, but that's cool. Because that's the question that always comes up, is you can just have somebody else blow into it, but it's the technology is far advanced past that. So I like it. The other part of what we're talking about here is the double jeopardy part of these new tougher laws or the new tougher law that, because now North Dakota, if you refuse a field sobriety test, you can be charged or cited for a DUI. Is that correct?
Yeah, what happened here, Mike, is South Dakota had that in their statute for a couple of years, and they were using it successfully. And all that said is that if you do refuse any part of the preliminary testing, that it's treated like a conviction. In other words, or like a guilty plea. So you could ask for a jury trial and do whatever you wanted to, but if you refuse any part of that testing, it's a guilty plea. So it took all those arguments away. North Dakota, when we incorporated that section into the statute, it wasn't clearly laid out. It wasn't written properly. So now there's been an appeal, and what happened is what they're arguing now, and, you know, defense attorneys, they get paid thousands of dollars to look into this kind of stuff and try to get somebody off on a technicality, and this is one of them. And right now, the way our law treats it, it looks like if you refuse, you're charged with a refusal, and if you're convicted, you're charged with another with a conviction. So you'd be hammered twice for the same offense, which, by the way, was clearly not the intent of the legislature.
Now, I thought Stengem said that could you tweak one of the charges, or I mean, could you do something so that you could be nailed both times? I'm not putting that on Wayne Stengem, but could you find a way around the double jeopardy part of it?
Mike, if you ever read some of the Supreme Court rulings, I mean, anything can happen, and I do think that they're looking into that, trying to figure out what they could do to change it. But clearly, there's going to have to be some changes to it.
But the key was, you said that was not the intent. That's not what the legislature wanted to do.
And I noticed today's paper also, they said that it wasn't clearly the intent of the legislature. And when you're writing laws, if there is a question, what you normally do is go back to the intent. And many times they'll review the committee notes, the committee, and say, is this what you wanted to do clearly? And that's what become what they go on. So that could happen. And I remember clearly when we discussed this, that the intent of the legislature was not to have two separate charges or two convictions. It was to have one conviction, but if the intent was that if you refuse any part of it, it's an automatic conviction.
1 minute left. Can these issues be ironed out? I mean, can the legislature, can the state work through this and kind of tighten up these mistakes and these loopholes in this law?
I don't think so until the next session. I think it's going to take till the next session in January of 2015 before we can actually fix it.
Is North Dakota ever going to get to the point where you want it to get to, as a former guy who was in a patrol car and had to come up on some of these accidents and see these people, see these families destroyed by DUI crashes, are we ever going to get to that point where we can be satisfied with our laws? To your satisfaction?
Good question, Mike. I would say during my lifetime, probably not.
Because?
Because there's a lot of pushback from... there are some financial interests that are involved in this area, and they like the way things are.
Thank you, Representative Grichella. Appreciate it. Ed Grichella, a state representative, District 45 from North Fargo. This